Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own business. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
2 weeks under our belt.
Two weeks without a videographer. We're stumbling through it.
Bumble, stumble, rumble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was telling you before the show, I'm trying to eat 3,400 calories a day.
Yeah.
To gain 20 pounds at my weight. It's fucking hard, man.
Yeah.
I have to drink 2 protein shakes every day and then try to eat 4 meals.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is.
I got to shit like 3 times a day.
When I was clean bulking requires a whole lot more volume of food because the food is less calorie dense.
It's lean. Yeah. It's not saturated fats and bullshit running the calorie count.
That's why I flipped to the dirty bulk was because I couldn't, I was feeling like I'm going to puke when I'm eating because I'm having to eat I'm forcing myself to eat. Whereas the dirty bulk, you just get more calories.
Yeah. I'm not trying to get huge or anything. I like to stay pretty lean and cut.
Yeah.
But I know that at 185 pounds, I'm really strong.
Yeah.
At 185.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm trying to get there.
Yeah.
We're going to see. I read this article about drinking protein shakes in the middle of the night. Have you ever tried that?
No, only because when your body takes in calories and starts metabolizing things, it tells your body to wake up.
Oh, hard to go back to sleep.
And so it's hard to, eating in the middle of the night makes it hard to go back to sleep.
I haven't tried it, but I have been drinking one before I go to bed.
Yeah.
30 minutes or so, 45 minutes, something like that.
I try to avoid eating within hour and a half before bed. I sleep better. That has nothing to do with diet. It's just I sleep better.
I sleep really good if I have a glass of milk and about 4 Oreos.
Yeah.
Coma.
Milk. Huh.
Hey, how's that going?
Yeah.
I've been meaning to ask you.
So, the listeners of this show, I don't know. I haven't shared too much about it, but I started having some digestion issues, and we've got bad colon cancer in my family. It kills people in my family.
Yeah.
My mom's missing the top third of her colon because of it. And so I'm...
How old was she? I can't remember.
She was 50, no, 60. She was in her 60s when she was diagnosed.
It would have had to have been super early 60s. She had to be 60 or 61.
Yeah, 62, I think.
Okay.
My grandfather was 72 when he was diagnosed with his. 72 or 75.
Your mom's
like
dad.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and that's ultimately what killed my grandfather. And so, they say you're supposed to get checked by 45. I'm currently 42, almost 43. And so we had a little bit of an insurance hurdle to get it figured out, to get them to cover it. But
because I'm shitting your guts out every day.
Yeah, I didn't have a solid crap for
but you didn't
3
feel,
months.
You didn't feel bad.
No, I didn't feel bad.
You looked good.
Yeah, I didn't feel bad.
I just sickly.
It was just weird. And so... went and did a colonoscopy that turned out great, no problems, but they're still, we got to figure this out. So they went and did an endoscopy and went down the top. Thankfully they used a different camera.
Stop dad joke.
But, the endoscopy, the colonoscopy and the blood work revealed possible celiac disease, which is a gluten intolerance. And I'm like, great, that fucking sucks.
Yeah. I do love good bread, man.
I know.
Oh,
and so,
Italian artisan bread, get
they
the
did
fuck
the,
out of here.
They did the endoscopy and ruled out any gluten intolerance. Well, in the time frame of all of that, I started kind of one at a timing, pulling crap out of my diet. And somehow we got the idea of maybe it's a milk thing. Maybe it's a lactose thing. And so I pulled milk out of my diet and everything went right back to perfect.
Still good?
And I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's been a week ago now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so... and what's cool is I can have even moderate amounts of cheese and stuff like that. But if I have like yesterday for lunch, I got a cheese pizza with like Philadelphia cream cheese on top.
Oh man, I bet that wrecked your insides.
Yeah, I'm back to being wrecked, but now I know why. So
I ate a cheese pizza with Philadelphia cream cheese on it. That does sound good.
Yeah, we were a little slow, so I took all the guys out to lunch, and I got me and one of the other guys split a pizza. So.
I don't like to toot my own horn. Actually, that's a lie. I love it. Do you remember, I think I said, are you sure it's just not something in your diet?
Yeah.
But we were talking about minerals and supplements and stuff, not food.
Well, in my diet hadn't overly changed a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like, literally the only change in my diet was I was eating cereal on a more regular basis. That was it. A bowl of cereal.
That's crazy. And you love milk.
I know.
You love milk.
Love it. And so, like, I bought Silk almond milk at first, and then everything cleared up. And then I found another milk product called Fairlife milk, which is a anti-lactose milk, but it's high in protein.
And
so I'm
really?
Like, cool. So I'll just do Fairlife milk from now on. And in cereal, you can't tell the difference. Yeah. It's cereal. It's fine.
Fairlife, is that like the lactaid? It's milk, but they just somehow pull the lactose
it's,
out of it or something.
It's probably
shit.
Like a soy product or something. I don't know how they do it. Huh. But yeah, like I like to eat a bowl of cereal before I go work out. It's just enough energy.
Yeah.
It's not too fattening or anything.
Yeah.
It gives you just enough to go work out. But yeah, that's been a wild journey.
How much of a relief was it? Like, okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got it figured out. Like, people don't realize, some people can handle it better, that long-term stress of waiting for an answer.
Yeah.
Like, and you're pretty even keeled, so you don't, like, that stuff doesn't, like me, I'd have been a nervous fucking wreck for a month and a half.
What's funny is I wasn't nervous for the colonoscopy or anything, and, you know, a lot of people get nervous around being put out and all that stuff.
Well, you're nervous that you might have cancer is
right.
What I'm talking about.
Right. And I still wasn't, like, I had just kind of accepted that, like, okay, whatever it is, I'm going to battle through it. Like,
yeah.
What, I mean,
I'm going to catch it early, and I'm going to
Yeah,
I'm
if it's cancer, it. We're going to dominate it. If it's not cancer, we're going to figure out what it is, and we're going to dominate that. Like, it just was what it was.
Yeah.
So I do the colonoscopy. I wake up. That's a weird thing when they put you out on propofol.
Yeah.
It's not like a normal.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a sleep instead of like you're unconscious.
Awesome. Yeah.
Right?
And you don't come out of it and then say a bunch of weird stuff.
Right.
You
it's
don't
not
know
like the
you
dentist.
Said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I popped right awake after that one. Well, the second time I went back like 7 days later for the endoscopy. That one was a different anesthesiologist.
She
and
died.
I think they dosed it differently because it took me like.
Did she look familiar?
It was a guy.
Did he look familiar?
No.
This motherfucker did plumbing at my house. He's like,
yeah.
I'm going to load this dude up.
Yeah, that one, it took me a good like 5 hours. Like I was falling asleep. They had to wake me up 4 or 5 times.
Damn.
I was falling asleep on the drive home. I was falling asleep on the couch once we got home. So
wow.
Yeah. But I mean, it was just tired. It wasn't anything.
That's crazy.
Wasn't saying weird shit. So.
Well. I mean, full transparency, your wife looked at me one day and was like, you know we're going to be rich if he dies, right?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah we are.
Worth more dead than alive. My employees found out my life insurance package yesterday.
Why?
And,
how?
They asked about it at lunch.
Oh.
Because Daniel made a comment about how I'm worth more dead than alive.
Ah.
And so they were like, really? What's my cut if I assist? So it's not good.
I'm not going to help because I get money if you die.
Yeah,
it's
you
not
get,
a lot.
Yeah, well, that's
to be honest,
it's a felony for you.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's a felony for me. Oh my God, did you see? I know we're going to talk about some other stuff. Did you see that lady? I wrote her name down, Elizabeth May from Canada, come out and blast Trump because Trump's been like, we're going to make Canada the 51st state, and
oh,
just
God.
Been. He's been hassling the shit out of him, right?
Yeah.
And she came out and she like made this whole big stink. And she was like, you know what? Maybe we'll just take Oregon and Washington and California. We're already abutted again. They're like, you get free health care. We don't care if it takes you 6 months to get an appointment. We have super strict gun laws. We know all of you like that. I can imagine the people in LA are like, no, that's not what we want.
Right.
And then I got to thinking about it. I was like, fucking take them.
Yeah.
What do you want to trade for it?
Nothing. Have them.
You know, okay, first off, I want some money or something.
Right.
Or, you know, something. But yeah, take them. You want them? Fucking take them,
yeah,
bitch.
Just have it.
You crazy whore.
Just have it. Yeah.
Just take them.
That's weird.
You can have them.
Those.
I love that they.
That explains the graphic I saw, because I saw a graphic that was like carving out the new lines between the U.S. and Canada, and it had like California, Oregon, Washington.
Minnesota.
It had Minnesota in there, and then it had the Northeast states in there.
Take them.
Yeah.
Take them. Take all your liberal fucking rag and get the hell out.
That's a weird thing. What's funny is all that stemmed from Trump wanting to rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks it's like a power trip move, and it's like, no, it's tactical, because Biden forbid drilling oil in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, if you change the name, then we're no longer drilling for oil in the Gulf of Mexico. It's the Gulf of America.
Yeah, I don't... Everyone wants to crush him every... I mean, let's be honest. He's a dick.
Yeah.
Which is what I like. He doesn't like...
You like dick?
Yes, I do. That's not going to make it in a short.
set that right up.
See, I get to do the editing now.
Yeah. The rule number one is we don't edit the show. Nothing gets cut out.
Well, that rule might be changing. But he's a dick to people, right?
Yeah. Well,
And I like it.
He's candid. He's direct.
Well, he doesn't walk around on eggshells around everybody afraid to hurt their feelings.
Right.
Fuck your feelings.
Right.
But I don't want someone in office that's just like, well, we're going to pat everybody on the back
right.
and pretend that there's no evil in the world.
Right.
No, have a little chaw. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
A little grit in your soul. Jesus.
The California wildfires are going on and everything else, and that's a whole problem in itself.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yesterday they were doing a news conference, and they were asking, you know, how much have you been in contact with the president and all this stuff? And then somebody asked, how much have you been in contact with the incoming president? Because here in a couple days, it doesn't matter what all of your contacts have done so far. And they admitted, like, we haven't been in contact with Trump at all.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And he can't, honestly, he can't do anything until...
Right.
But you would think you'd want to, like, okay, hey, we got to lay some groundwork here and kiss some ass. Because we need money.
Right.
Because we can't save anything.
Yeah. I don't know. Part of it bugs me because, like, the American Red Cross is putting up commercials asking for donations for this shit. And I'm like, this was hardly a natural disaster.
It was, but...
You get a hurricane come through and you can't stop that. Right? You can just handle it the best it can. This was preventable.
Yeah.
This was 1,000% preventable. And then the severity of it was also preventable. You can't shut off water to all the fire hydrants and then be like, well, it's still raging on. Well, no shit.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, this fire almost becomes choice.
Yeah.
You chose not to take care of the forestry down low, the stuff on the ground.
That forestry stuff.
Right.
That is, I didn't realize how much we did like back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and now we do none.
Yeah.
Like, what? What sense does that make?
We do. California doesn't.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I meant we as in the government.
Yeah.
Like, how are they not taking care of that?
Well, and you can't choose to eliminate all of your reservoirs to save a couple. Like, I'll bet those elk and deer that have died in these fires.
Yeah.
I bet they really care about the couple of fish that you saved.
Yeah.
By getting rid of the reservoirs. And now you didn't have the red. Like, okay, so we saved a couple of fish. But it cost us $50 billion in losses, right?
Yeah.
And I've got a very liberal friend on social media.
I got a few of those.
And
I've noticed I've been getting cut out of the loop on a lot of conversations lately.
Well, some of that's just the social media algorithms trying to put you in your echo chamber.
No, people are not allowing me to see their posts.
Oh, that's funny.
I've asked.
this person was like, how ironic is it that the football game can't be played in LA because of the fires, and so they relocated it to Arizona, and Arizona's the State Farm Stadium, and State Farm just canceled all of these fire policies. And like, she was trying to almost pick on State Farm for doing it, and I commented on it and said,
I really doubt State Farm had anything to do with them moving that game to that stadium.
Well, regardless of any of that, I told her, I'm like, look, insurance companies have some of the best risk analysts in the world. And so when an insurance company pulls out of an area for risk of fire, pay attention.
Yeah.
When State Farm is like, we ain't covering fires here. Meanwhile, they still cover earthquakes in California. But when they say we ain't covering fires here, that's a problem.
That
right? And so there's your red flag right there. That's
racing.
Yeah, if State Farm isn't wanting to cover fires in California, what do they know? Well, they know that California set it up ripe for a fire, and look what happens 2 weeks later.
Well, and they also, and they think about it as in, okay, they're not taking care of the forest. They've got water diverted. They've got water shut off. So instead of my losses being 10,000 homes, or $10 million, now it's $50 billion.
Right.
We can't sustain that. We can sustain the 10.
Yeah.
And we would stay involved, but California's made it such a shit show.
Yeah.
That we're out.
And that's so, like, on these latest football games, the Red Cross has been advertising, you know, donate to the fires and families. And they've all these, this last weekend's of football games, they all had a moment of silence and all this stuff. And I'm like, I mean, I get it. It's tragic for the individuals that didn't have much control over it. But this is almost like, this is not a purebred natural disaster. This is
exacerbated by.
Yeah.
By humans.
Yeah, it's an unnatural
and then they
disaster.
Want to blame it on the oil companies for global warming. Like, stop.
Well,
stop.
And that girl that that made the post trying to pick on the State Farm deal, when I was talking about how impressive insurance companies' ability to analyze risk is, I said, look, you know, if you want to find the way of the world, like, watch insurance companies and watch politicians. Watch their actions, not what they say.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, everyone's trying to tell us that the sea levels are rising and we're going to lose Florida and we're going to lose all this shit. And the magic number is always 7 years, right?
Yeah, it's been 7 years for 47 years.
Right. But politicians are still buying houses on the beach. So if they really thought sea levels were rising, they wouldn't be buying houses on the beach. And insurance companies are still insuring houses on the beach.
Yeah.
And so if they really thought sea levels were rising, they wouldn't insure that. And so that's how you're able to tell, like, the bullshit environmentalist claims versus the real environmentalist claims, is just watch insurance companies.
Yeah.
And in the moment insurance companies say no on mass scale like they did in California, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So, well,
and the whole sea level thing, like, when ice melts, right, and is taking up less waterway, water is allowed to go into that area. If ice melts off of a low-lying area and is like dirt is exposed, water goes there.
Right.
Okay, every ounce of water that melts from the north is not raising the sea level. It's actually a very, very small percentage. It's insane to me what they will take and twist to scare people.
If you take a 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot cube of ice and you put it inside a tub that is 13 inches by 13 inches by 13 inches.
Okay.
So you only have 1/2 inch all the way around that cube. And you fill that 1/2 inch space with water. You've now created a miniature version of a polar ice cap, right?
Yeah.
Watch the ice melt and watch your tub never overflow.
Yeah.
Because ice expands when it freezes and it shrinks as it melts.
Water
it takes
expands
up,
when it freezes.
Yes.
So it takes up more space.
Yeah. It takes up less space as it melts.
Yeah.
So now, granted, I know the ice is above the water level there on the caps.
Yeah.
But still, there's not enough ice on the polar ice caps. Like, it would all have to flash melt in an instant for us to see any kind of recognizable change.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
People are just, they will feed into any narrative that they think that makes them feel good about the stance they've taken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is what I really mean.
Yeah.
The lack of common sense is just, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. I say insane a lot on this show because when we talk about stuff, it makes me insane.
Yeah.
It just, and the whole, just one more point on the Red Cross thing. You know, if people want to donate their money, donate, it's your money. Do whatever the hell you want with it. But that's why we have FEMA, and that's why we fucking pay taxes.
Yeah.
And then when you piss all that money away on immigrants coming to this country so you can feed and clothe them and give them extra money because we're going to pull it out of the FEMA budget, and then a hurricane gets all the way to North Carolina and people lose their homes, and then there's a fire in California, they're out of money.
Well, and
they're fucking out of money.
And this administration exposed their hand on their way out by the people in the Carolinas, they got a loan of $750. It's not even a gift.
No, you have to pay it back on your
taxes.
You got to
pay it back, right?
I think it's going to be on your taxes.
So they got a loan. It's probably a forgivable loan, but they got a loan for $750. Meanwhile, all these millionaires and Hollywood stars out in California are told, like the government's saying, we're covering the whole thing. And it just lets you know, hey.
Who's important and who's not?
Well, that Carolina state, what color was that state? It's a red state. And it, all the Carolina stuff happened right before the election.
Yeah.
So if we under deliver on taking care of the red state, maybe they won't show up to vote. But now that we've already lost the election, let's show what we actually can do in cases of wide-scale disasters. And the government steps in and says, we're going to take care of everything.
Yeah. Hey, Canada, just take it.
Yeah.
Take whatever the fuck you want over there.
Have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And good luck deciphering their financial mess that is California.
Right.
Good luck.
Right.
I mean, good fucking luck.
Yeah.
Ugh. What do you want to talk about today, buddy?
Ironically, we're similar on that topic. We're going to talk about the most important skill to have in life. This isn't just in business. This is in life.
Okay. Blow my mind.
The ability to adapt.
That's probably actually true.
What's going to happen to you after you leave here today?
I'm going to go home.
You're going to go home. You're going to do a little bit of work.
I'm gonna go home. We have a call with the Tradewinds member at 4,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Leone.
Yep.
Hopefully he brings his smoke show wife. I love
him. You can only say that because you're friends with her.
Yeah, friends with both of them. I love it. They are two of the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
And they are perfect for each other,
They are awesome.
Yeah.
They are awesome people, and they make a big difference in this community.
Yep.
But anyways, we're going to have a call with them, and then I will probably edit this podcast together and get it out, now that I know how to do it.
Are you going to run into something you didn't expect?
Of course.
How are you going to overcome that?
I'm going to adapt.
Adapt, right? And stop teasing. Obviously, we're being coy about it, but... Like, your ability, like, you ever hear the saying, like, the best laid plans go to rest? And it's, you know, another common term for it is, like, paralysis by analysis.
I thought best laid plans go to waste.
Same.
I thought that was the saying.
Well.
I could be wrong.
Let me bust out the Googler.
Okay, get the Google machine.
The best laid plans go... Best laid plans go to waste is higher up on the search. Okay. Best laid plans go to waste.
Maybe you should start listening to me
there we
a little
go.
Bit more. Man, I love you. I've said this 1,000 times. I love being right.
When it comes to me, yeah, you do.
No, when it comes to fucking everything.
But
I love it. Go ahead, sir.
So what they're hinting at there is, I mean, get an idea, get a rough plan. But you aren't going to be able to script your every move in anything that you do. We're going to be driving to Colorado to go skiing in a couple of weeks. I can choose what time we leave the house.
Yeah.
And I can set an idea of, like, I'd love to pull into the ski resort at this time.
Yeah.
But there's going to be an unplanned bathroom stop. There's going to be somebody's not feeling well. There's going to be a food stop. There's going to be a gas stop.
Last time we went... So we were way ahead of you guys. We got stopped at the tunnel for an accident, and we waited for an hour and a half. You almost caught us.
Yeah.
Hour and a half, gone, up in smoke.
Could get a flat tire, could get an accident.
Yeah.
Could stop to help an accident. There was a time 2 or 3 years ago when we went with Danielle's family where we had like a big old snowstorm, and they were closing the highways down. And if you stayed on the highway, you could stay on. But if you got off, you weren't allowed to get back on. And, you know, all of those things can come in and totally wreck your plans. And so the most successful people out there are not successful because they planned the best. They're successful because they had kind of a rough idea of what they wanted to do. They started marching in that direction. And then they just adapted to all of the changes that are going to come their way. I had one of my installers, he's moving. He's moving to about an hour and 15 minutes away from us. And so he's going to get a job at a plumbing company closer to him, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I would.
I'm not driving an hour and 15 every day.
Not for an installer's role.
I wouldn't do it for a professional role.
Right. And so, you know.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/thevoid or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
I couldn't have planned on that. So all we did was adapt and overcome, right? You know, we went and looked at a job today that we wouldn't normally get. But it's here in Blue Springs. They called us. They needed work done fairly quickly. We have the ability to do that the way we set up our schedule. So we took it. We priced it. They called back and said, man, this price is too high. I'm going to present it to the boss, but I don't think he's going to go with it. And then he called, and we're like, well, sorry, that's the price. Yeah, and he calls back 5 minutes later and is like, when can you do it? Like, you know?
Right now.
And so, like, I couldn't have guessed that was going to happen when I woke up this morning. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of things that happen that you can't plan for, that literally your ability to succeed through that is your ability to adapt, pivot, and continue marching. Right?
Yeah. I would say half of it isn't necessarily your ability to adapt. It's the ability for you to not be mentally overwhelmed by the challenge that's come up in front of you. Lots of people, like, if something bad happens, they just check out. Oh, this didn't go how I wanted. They just lock up.
Yeah.
Like, they're so overwhelmed with emotion or am I going to be able to even make this happen? They get to overthinking it instead of stepping back and saying, okay, what is the solution to this problem? How do I make the best of it? And then how do I move on from it?
Yeah.
They don't take it from an analytical standpoint.
Right.
They just let their emotions dictate and they just lock up and they panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's the majority of the problem.
Yeah. And, you know, we always make comparisons to athletics, but athletics are a really good show of the ability to adapt. Any sport that goes on for quite a long time, so like football or baseball or something like that, you know, the game starts going in one direction and teams adjust, they analyze, and they make corrections, and they adapt, and they overcome a points deficit.
Yeah.
Or a time of possession deficit. You know, we're getting rolled because they're controlling the clock. And so they go in at halftime, they come back out, and now it's a whole new game. You know, and it's because of their ability to adapt to do that. The Chiefs are notorious for that, right?
God, they play like shit in the first quarter of every game.
Yeah.
And well, I think it's
They love playing from 10 points back, too.
First off, no, they don't. They don't love it, but they're good at it.
They need that pressure to survive.
I think it's because Spags doesn't show anything, doesn't do anything, plays base defense, lets them do whatever they want, and then is like, okay, this is what they're doing, and then they change.
Yeah, I do, too.
I shouldn't say just Spags. All of the great defensive coordinators out there, that's what they do.
Yeah. It's very similar to guys that race cars, like street racing. You never want to blow out your opponent.
No.
You always want to beat your opponent by a car length.
Yeah.
No matter who you're racing.
Yeah, it's called hustling.
Yeah. You want to act like they almost had you, right? Because everyone else that's looking at you and wants to race you, you want to make them feel like, well, I've beat him by a car and he beat him by a car, so maybe we'll be a good race.
Yeah.
Well, and then you just beat the new guy by a car too, you know? And,
yeah. And then you hit that second shot of 50 and
you're out.
And you're out. Yeah. See ya.
But yeah, your ability to adapt is your ability to succeed. 1,000%. We started this whole podcast talking about like my recent little health thing, right? My ability to adapt, right? We're going to go in and find out what this is. I don't know how to adapt until I know what's wrong, but we're going to go in and find out what this is. I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to adapt and I'm going to kick its ass. And no matter what it was, if it was cancer, great. If it was a gluten intolerance, great. Turns out it's just a lactose intolerance.
Yeah.
That's fucking easy.
Yeah.
But I was prepared for cancer and, you know, no wheat.
Well, I mean, and like we're talking about big moments in life, right? And big things that happen, but it's the little things too.
Yeah.
Like, so just to about you having to go in and get your colonoscopy and your endoscopy and all that stuff. It's like all of a sudden now medical things are at the forefront of my mind.
Yeah.
So all of those things that I wanted to do in my business, all of those things I wanted to focus on and do that, now I have to make time for this other stuff and something has to, you know, get kicked to the wayside.
Yeah.
Or I have to sacrifice my own personal time, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the adaptation process.
Yeah.
The little things, the small things that happen that you can control, control the big things that are going to happen later.
Yeah.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information in a one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Right.
Well, it's like when my wife's car got stolen. Now, all of a sudden, we're in a position we don't have a choice. We have to dedicate large amounts of time to dealing with the theft, trying to recover the car, seeing the insurance play out and everything else, and then buying a new car and dealing with all of that.
Yeah.
And like...
like, it sucks away a week of your life.
Yeah.
And you're like... but none of the other things that are happening in your business, especially if you're a business owner, none of those things can be put on the back burner.
Right.
Those things have to still be given the amount of attention they need to keep the doors rolling and the doors open so that your guys can get paychecks and continue on with their lives.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a whole nother level of adaptation versus just your regular everyday life.
Right. Right. And I mean, this even goes even to the smaller scale than that. Like, you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you have a choice to make. Do I brush it off and move on?
Do I shoot this guy in the face?
Or do I, you know, continue the non-verbal conversation between, like, you may be cussing up a storm in your car, but you're not talking to them, right?
Yeah, I know what
you're saying. Do you continue the communication with that car? You know, swerving, brake checking, staring, flipping the bird, you know, all the typical road rage things, right? That's your ability to adapt right there.
Yeah, Mitch Medley in his 20s.
Yeah, I used to have real bad road rage.
Oh, man,
right?
It was awesome to
watch. And now I'm just like, eh, whatever, you know.
Age will do that to you, too.
I also used to be a guy that had to have the last word, and I'm really...
still kind of that way? Is
well,
that what you mean?
No, I'm really working on that. So, like...
you mean in an argument or just in a debate?
Any kind of a disagreement, whether it's an argument or a constructive disagreement. And
you know what? I've never noticed that about you.
It's more so on the internet than in person. Of course, that's where most of your disagreements happen now anyway. But so for instance,
I'm baffled.
We made a short form video about my car getting stolen. And we posted it up on YouTube.
Dude, you know that thing's at like 4.8?
Yeah,
4.4?
It's mid 4 millions of views.
Something like
it's
that.
A lot.
It's crazy. It's the dumbest video I've watched in a long time. 4.5 million views.
In the first million views, most of the comments were like bagging on cops and bagging on the justice system and all of this stuff. And there were some funny ones in there, like, you know, hey, they did you a favor. They stole a Jeep. Like, just don't replace it with another Jeep and you're good.
I agree 100%.
Little do they know, we replaced it with another Jeep. But anyway, but the comments were kind of in unison, right?
Yeah,
cops suck, or yeah, the justice system sucks, or, you know, yeah, the ghetto sucks, or whatever. But then something happened about the time it got into the upper 2 millions.
Easy about my hometown.
Yeah. about the time it got into the upper 2 millions of views, the comments started shifting to hate. And I got called entitled a couple days ago in one of the comments. The comment was like, this person is so entitled, they think that they can try to get their own car back.
First off, you are entitled, but not because of that.
Well, let's see. The money I paid for the car entitles me to the privilege of trying to get my property back.
That person is the same type of dipshit that steals cars and jewelry, and they're like, this is mine. I deserve this because I took it.
Yeah.
Like, what do you, what?
Right.
It's called double standard. Get your head out of here.
And a lot of the people are like, you're willing to risk your life for a car? No, I'm willing to risk my life for justice. Like, to put criminal, not justice like, I want closure. Justice of like, okay, here's people in a car that stole my car. Let's let them get punished.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't even want the car back because after those guys have had it for, at that time they'd had it for like 2 weeks. Like, you know that thing reeks of weed and it's
What's
probably trashed.
That?
It didn't reek of weed when it got stolen.
No, I guarantee it reeked of weed and McDonald's.
Yeah, probably.
McDonald's fries left in the back will ruin a car.
Yeah.
Every fucking time.
Yeah.
They're so good, though.
But, as far as adapting goes, some of those hate comments I would take personally. And you'd like try to clap back at them, right?
Yeah.
They'd be like, what
clap
kind of
back? What are you, 30?
Yeah. Well, they'd do something like, you know, what kind of a man are you? You saw your own stolen car and you didn't come home with it. Your wife's probably so ashamed of you and all of this stuff. And keep in mind, they're making all these judgments over, you know, it took us 45 minutes to tell the story. We cropped it down to a 3-minute video and they're making all these assumptions and all these judgments. But, you know, I was clapping back at them at first. And then, like, this has been a good exercise for me of just like, you know, LOL, okay, bro, whatever.
Yeah, let
like,
it go.
Let it go. And the moment you hit send and they don't reply anymore, like, it's done.
Yeah.
And you're on and about your way, you know?
Yeah.
And there's quite a few comments in there that are like that. But that's the ability to adapt, right? And I used to want to always have the last word and try to prove somebody right, prove myself right or prove somebody wrong. And then you start to realize, like, you can't, want more for somebody than they want for themselves, and you can't make somebody think differently over the internet.
No.
They have to choose to think differently. And so, you know, the idea that I'm going to change their mind about something just ain't there.
Yeah. And when people argue on the internet and they just keep coming at you, keep coming at you, keep coming at you, they're usually trying to like rile you up, you know? Because it just kind of gets them off a little bit. Most of the time, I've noticed most of the time, those people aren't very intellectual. Like, if I have 30 seconds to sit and think about what I want to respond with and can write it out and pull facts, no one can beat me.
Yeah.
Like, when the election stuff, right after the election happened, I have a ton of liberal friends. My family's liberal. I'm in these battles online. And I would literally, like, just post facts. This is why we lost. I'm sure you saw some of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think happened, blah, blah, blah. And I would just post those and I say, well, these are just the facts. This is what's happened and this is where they're at. This is where we're at. And people would literally just keep like berating me and trying to get me to get mad and I would just like my comments after that would just be like, look, I know you're trying to like get me upset. I'm not. These are just the facts and it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
You should probably like really focus your attention on things that matter.
Yeah.
And then, like you were saying, like those comments just stop and they just cut off.
Yeah.
And it's just people that want to just keep after you and after you and after you, and you have the conscious mind and the intellect to just make your point, be factual about it, and then ghost. Just know that you're smarter than them.
Yep.
And move on with your life.
Yeah.
You got more important shit to do.
Right.
Then be fucking with these trolls on the internet all the time. Stop.
Yeah.
I see really good friends of mine that I know, love, and respect, and I know are twice as smart as me.
Right.
That they will get inundated with it, and it will just take over, and they will keep conversations going for days.
Yep.
I'm like, dude, you have better things to be working. If you focused that attention on something positive and some like porn form of personal growth or development or your business, I mean, the results are exponential. Stop.
Yeah.
Let go. Move the fuck on. They don't care.
Right.
They're just fucking with you to fuck with you.
They're getting enjoyment out of watching you get upset. Meanwhile, you're trying to get enjoyment out of making somebody's life better. You're on two different levels.
Yeah. And it's like 3D chess, man.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Stop.
Yeah. Some of the comments in there, like there'll be a couple of comments of like, that was the biggest waste of 3 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you were on YouTube Shorts, flicking through Shorts. You had the time to waste. Like, don't act like this video wasted your time. You chose to get on YouTube.
When I see stuff like that, I don't even respond. Like, I think that same thing, but I don't. I'm like, I'm not wasting.
Yeah.
Who cares? That guy's just looking for something to, for someone to respond to him. That's
there,
all.
There was that one comment. I texted it to you. Let me pull it up because it's pretty funny.
While you're pulling that up, anyone that watches on YouTube or anyone that listens to this podcast, could you guys watch some of our YouTube versions to help us get our hour count up so that we could maybe at least be monetized enough to buy a camera or something? We're really close.
Yeah, we're trying to get to a...
And I will say this, it will be worth it because Mitch is growing some kind of weird fucking old man, half gray, half red hair beard. And the only way you can see it
is on YouTube.
Is on YouTube.
Yeah.
So just...
We got a 10-day beard going.
We got a 10-day...
So one of the comments...
To be honest, it looks good.
It looks all right. One of the comments, I screenshotted it and texted to you.
Oh,
it says, why is this guy babbling so long?
Oh,
my gosh, it's annoying. And I just replied to it, and I'm like, yeah, your girl told me that you thought 3 minutes was a really long time.
I laughed out loud when you sent that to me,
too. It's a three-minute video. What do you mean babbling so long?
Dude, like, because people are... I don't want to get off topic, but the whole social media thing where you can flick through and see 20-second videos at a time,
mm-hmm.
people's attention span has gone to zero.
Yeah.
And it has flourished the ADHD market that's out there, and that's the kind of stuff that happens.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 3 whole minutes. Dude, you ain't got 3 minutes?
Yeah.
And what's weird to me is I antiquate it to, and I'm starting a YouTube channel pretty soon. It's just going to be, I'm going to play some cover songs and do some fun stuff. But you'll listen to a shitty song for 4 minutes, not say anything, but then you're going to bitch and whine. You stopped on this, chose it.
Yeah.
And then, like, what? Stop.
Yeah.
Like, what?
You could have turned away at any moment.
Yeah, you could have just rolled on. Why did you wait till 3:30?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And,
like,
and how dare you open up YouTube and expect to be entertained with every video you chose to watch?
Yeah, there's a lot of shit out there.
There's a lot of junk videos,
oh,
right?
Oh, man.
We have plenty, too.
Yeah, yes, we do.
Other ways your ability to adapt are going to come in, and I'm only going to speak from experience on these things. If you would have told me that we would have been involved in 3 non-at-fault collisions in like 2.5 months, I would have been like, no, because we've gone 4 years without a collision.
Yeah.
And here we are. Yeah. 3 vehicle collisions, none of them were our fault, in 2.5 months. I get all the vans fixed, and then what happens 2 weeks later? One of the vans I just fixed hits a sign. This is at fault. It's technically at fault, but it's understandable. It's a construction sign with very thin aluminum legs, and the sign had blown over.
Yeah, they're spring-loaded, too, so it can fold up.
But the legs were still out. And you can't really see the legs sticking out in the roadway too well.
First off, yes, you can. If you're not looking at your phone.
Yeah. If you're not, I do question whether he was paying full attention.
He was not.
But,
I didn't see it, Mitch.
Hit that sign. He's only going like 30, but hit the leg of that sign, and it's bitter cold out that day. And of course, it shatters the front bumper of the Transit, takes out my fog light.
Did you get brush guards yet?
Breaks the windshield washer fluid reservoir.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, God dang. Like, you know, thankfully it's only $1,300 in damage and we're getting it fixed later this week, I think.
That thing still isn't fixed?
No. Well, I was holding it off. Like,
yeah.
Like, let's get through some time. Like, the at fault or the non at fault accidents, I'll fix them right away.
I would have thought.
Because someone else is paying for it.
Well, I would have thought you'd want to get that fixed before the end of the year for this year's taxes.
No.
I don't want to get into a whole thing.
We were bleeding cash towards the end of the year. It was like, this is not a 24 expense. This is a 25 expense.
2 years, 3 years ago, I had a whole year like that. I was just like, we were just spending money and cash, and Janine and I are sitting down doing our books and stuff and just looking. I'm like, babe, we spent $120,000 on a car, some vacations.
Yeah.
Like, just gun, like, just shit.
Yeah.
She looked me dead in the eye, and she's like, you have a fucking spinning problem.
Yeah.
So I was like, you're right. We gotta rein in here.
Yeah.
Like, it happens.
Well, I get a Christmas card from our Amazon guy, if that tells you anything.
That's because your wife
has a fucking spending problem.
Every time, like, for a while, I don't know if she's done it on purpose or not. Like, for a while, I would come in, and she'd be wearing either a new pajama set, or she'd have new flip-flops that said fuck off, or like it was always something.
Yeah.
And then I got to notice, like, when I'd come in, there'd be a new Amazon box on the dining table, and I'm mm-hmm. like, oh. Dude, this is every time I've been here.
This is every day.
For two fucking years.
This is every day. Yeah. And I curbed it for a while because I let her do all the purchasing for the business. And I'm like, if she wants to spend money, I'll let her spend money. Hey, buy this. Hey, buy that. Hey, buy this. And she had fun.
Do you know that you can turn credit cards and Amazon accounts off with the flick of a switch?
Oh, yeah.
Off.
Oh, yeah.
Off.
But the discipline, that's cheating, right? The discipline is, hey, stop choosing to do it. So.
I can't decide. We talking about,
I mean, they're both effective.
Are we talking about her discipline or your discipline to tell her no and shut the shit up?
No, discipline's a personal thing.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You don't have the discipline to tell her.
I can tell
no
her. I can tell her every day because I do.
Or shut. You don't have the discipline to turn her off.
The running joke in our household is this old thing.
Yeah.
Like every new thing. I'm like, how many old things are going to show up tomorrow?
You guys do buy a lot of knickknackies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working on that with her. Like, I don't buy a lot of knickknackies. She does.
No, you're like me. You buy bigs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You buy big shit.
I'm like, the guy that's like, I'll drive an extra 10 minutes to save $4 because Lowe's had it cheaper than Home Depot or something.
That's what Harvey
does. And then I go buy a big ass wake boat.
Yeah.
Or, you know. But hey, you that $4, that helps buy the wake boat.
This is funny as shit. Danielle, you cannot spend $100 a month on knick-knacky bullshit.
$100 a month? I wish it was that.
What's the number?
Tell me what the number is
so I can finish my analogy.
She's bought a wake boat before I bought a wake boat. She just didn't end up with a wake boat. She ended up with a bunch of knick-knacky shit.
That's the only thing you could have said to kill my analogy, so thank you. That's a lot of... The worst part is, when you have a house purge, how much of that shit is gone?
So we actually do a pretty good job of keeping the purge.
Okay, so we're just buying shit and throwing it away. Because where's all the shit at? If she's bought enough shit to buy that boat,
yeah.
Where is all the shit?
It's in the house.
Where?
It's here. So some of it's clothes, which all goes to like Goodwill or whatever. So.
Okay.
I
will give Janine a free pass. She's not that way. Like, she'll wear, like, she has sweatshirts that I'm like, throw that the fuck away and buy new stuff.
Right.
Like, she's not that way with clothes and everything else. But it's like, buy new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get rid of it. Stop.
Trying to get back on topic here.
Shoes. I don't even remember what the fucking topic was.
How to adapt.
I haven't even been drinking. This is my first drink all day.
So your ability to adapt, it's not easy. This is the reason it's not easy is because you never know what you're going to have to adapt to. We now, Danielle and I, will get up in the morning and every once in a while we'll have a joke with each other of like, what surprise do you think is in store for us today? Because when you have employees and your employees are driving vehicles all around the city and you have your phone number plastered all around the city and a whole bunch of ways for people to contact you, and you have customers that you don't really get to vet, right?
Yeah, you never know.
There's no Angie's. There's no reverse Angie's list for customers. There should be. That'd be really cool if you could rate customers. Like, nope. Uber does it.
Yeah.
But
maybe we should start that platform.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I'm editing this conversation part out.
Yeah.
So no one steals our idea.
But like, when you have all of that and you have a couple of YouTube channels that you never know who's going to see them and what's going to comment on there, like, you never know. And I have two kids, one in middle school, one in high school. Like, you never know what's going to happen, right?
You know what's happening with Mace. You never know what's going to happen with Grant. That's an exercise in fertility.
And so, like, futility. Every day I could get a phone call and nothing would surprise me. And that's not because my... it's not because my outlook on my life is poor. Like a lot of people is like, nothing surprises me anymore. And it's kind of an Eeyore outlook. And this isn't that. This is like, no, this is
so much crazy shit I've seen that I know that there's just as much crazy shit out there.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a popular TV show, Landman.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting.
You need to get on it and watch it. Like, you'll fall in love with it.
I know.
Because
I like
you,
Billy Bob.
You are a lot like Billy Bob's character in that movie.
That's scary.
He's got great one-liners, thrives in chaos, and puts up like tragic, prolific shit happens, and he's just like, I'll deal with it. I'll handle it. Like
whatever.
Like a lot of men, right? A lot of men just have to deal with it and handle it, right?
Great, good men and great men that are doing above and beyond regular sit in my mom's basement, play video game stuff. Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They just handle their
shit. I'm just going to figure it out, right?
Handle our shit.
Yeah.
Get on with it. I need a shovel. Someone help me dig this hole.
There's another story that we'll talk about in the future. I'm not going to talk about it now.
No, we're trying to shorten these episodes, by the way.
I'll allude to it, and then I'm going to actually write a note so that we end up talking about it. I've had an interesting experience buying my wife the replacement vehicle for her car that got stolen. And as you pulled in the driveway today, you saw the dealership picking the car back up.
Yeah.
Because we've had some issues with it. And
I do want to make fun of you for this whole situation. So I will save it for we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
You know, I think we got to shoot two next week.
I should have the car back by next podcast, so we may be able to fill everybody in there.
You want to place a wager on that right now?
No, they're not going to have it for longer than a week. I'll say this. If they have it for longer than a week, they are doing a really good job of making right of their
wrongs.
They're
doing a really good job of making you think that they're righting all their wrongs. You are correct.
Well, there's no way. the list of things that they need to do to the car is a day or two's worth of work, unless they go full bloat with the whole list, and then it's a fair amount. But
you are good for content. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Well, like, my wife and I took her new Jeep to date night the other night, and we see a rattle, or we hear a rattle. And she's told me this thing's rattling a little bit, and it's getting worse. And now that I'm in the car, I hear it, and I'm like, what the fuck, right?
Did we talk about this last podcast?
No, I don't think so.
Did we not?
I
talk to you so much that I'm losing track of what we talk about.
Yeah. And so, like, I didn't even waste any time. I came home from date night. I was still in my date night clothes. And I came home from date night and started investigating it. And I'm not going to go into what it is. I want to wait until, you know, I don't want to talk good or bad of this dealership until they have a chance to make it right. But it was I found a massive problem. But I handled it right then and there. And nobody could have, like, you would never go into date night thinking that you're going to find a problem like this with one of your vehicles later on that night, right?
Yeah.
Sunday.
You okay, buddy?
Yeah.
You want some more of that rum from the last episode?
That's what's in here now. Sunday, we're watching football games and our doorbell rings. And we haven't gotten mail at our house for a week, by the way. We're getting it now, but that snowstorm we had 2 weeks ago, Sundays ago.
We didn't get mail because you couldn't get down our road for like 4 fucking days. Our trash hasn't come in a week and a half.
Yeah. And so Sunday, I get a knock on the door. And it's the post office. And this lady is like, hey, I wanted to let you know I bumped into your mailbox.
Oh, shit.
But it's fine. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I look out there and I can immediately tell it's not fine.
Knocked off the pedestal.
Yeah. And we, like, I know we have a friend, an old friend, that got a job at the post office and he got fired in 2 weeks for hitting too many mailboxes.
You and I know this person?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. He was a friend of Mike Van Dyke's. He had a silver Honda Civic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. His name's escaping
starts
me.
Starts with a J.
What was it?
Jason.
Was it Jason?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nice guy.
Yeah, super nice guy.
Liked shit out of him.
Hit
too many mailboxes.
Hit too many mailboxes.
I can actually see that coming from him.
Yeah. And so, like, I look out there and I see the mailbox isn't okay, But I've gone through a postal claim before. The post office like messed up my storm door one time. They delivered a package and they thought they were going to hide it between the storm door and the main door. But it was a crazy, super windy day. And when they opened the storm door and put the package in there, the door didn't latch because the package was too big. And then the wind picked up and it basically ripped my storm door off my house.
Oh, boo hoo.
No big deal.
Yeah.
And I was young.
Fucking door.
I was young at the time, didn't have any money at all. And
oh, this is your old house.
No, this is here. But this was like right after we moved in. We were house poor as hell. Like we didn't even have furniture here yet.
Yeah.
We were house poor.
We spent all our money on building the house. We ain't got no goddamn money.
and so I'm like, oh, they're gonna pay for this and I'm gonna make do and you know, make them good.
Everyone's really bitchy when they build a house, by the way. It's just part of it.
Yeah. And so, you know, I went through the whole process and they never denied anything, but it was like 7 or 8 weeks to get my money. And all they would do was they'll either reimburse me for a receipt to have a handyman replace it, or they'll reimburse me for a receipt if I replace it. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to have a handyman put this on. So I had to go buy a new one on my dime, turn in the receipt. And
should have had a handyman do it.
I know. I could have.
Yeah.
But I also know that
I could have been your handyman.
I also know that postal delivery person ended up losing their job because of that. Like the post office takes that very seriously. I don't know why.
That's dumb as shit.
Yeah. And so this girl, like, she at least came and knocked on the door and told me about it. You know, she could have not.
I wouldn't have.
rolled
on down the road.
And what's kind of bullshit is she said the postal van slid on ice. And there's no ice around my mailbox. There is now because of the snow melt and refreezing.
Dude, I had to park half in the cul-de-sac because there's a 20-foot mountain of snow in your
Yeah. Well, yard. Look at the mailbox when you walk back out there.
I looked at it when I walked in.
Yeah, she clocked it good.
Yeah, it's
It fucked that postal van up.
Did it?
Yeah. but, like, there in a split second, I was forced to adapt. I could go ultra bitchy and file a complaint with the post office and take 6-8 weeks and, you know, then I have to pay somebody full wages to fix, like, I built my mailbox, and so I'd have to, for those that don't know, like, my mailbox is a big concrete pillar with stacked stone around it, and then it's got a tapered wood pillar on top, and the mailbox sits on top of that.
Yeah, it's real uppity fancy.
Yeah, it matches the pillars that are on my front porch. And so this isn't like just a little junky metal pole stuck in the ground or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's some significant work to getting it back right.
Nah, just slide it over. It's good.
Yeah. and so, like, in an instant, I could have filed all those grievances and everything else, and she would have lost her job, and I didn't want that for her.
Was she hot?
No, but I didn't want that for her. I mean, she's out there delivering. This was the post office delivering for Amazon on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm not, you know, I don't want that for her. I really don't want anybody to fix this other than me. And it's only going to take me maybe an hour to fix it. It's going to take a hell of a lot longer than an hour to file all the claim paperwork and everything else. And then I still have to fix it.
Yeah.
They're just going to give me a little bit of money. And it's like, it's not even worth all that. I'm just going to fix it.
Yeah.
And, but like, I didn't wake up that day with that on my bingo card.
No, but like, it is now.
You know, I've lived here 13 years. No one's ever touched that mailbox. And then here, boom, post office, like, fucks their shit up on it.
There's just always, we've said this a lot. There's always something to deal with.
Yeah.
And how you handle that situation dictates your character, dictates your own attitude. If you just say, hey, no big deal. I'll deal with it. I'll move on.
Yeah.
If you sit there and you mull over it and you bitch and you complain and you're someone owes me this and someone, that's probably how you live your life.
Yeah.
That's not living.
Yeah.
You can't be happy that way. You're always going to be negative because there is always shit happening. It's a constant. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. The easiest way to learn how to adapt in the face of change is get some core values personally and in business. I'm fortunate enough that my core values are the exact same in my business as in my personal life. And it's taken me probably 2 years to make decisions with my core values in the forefront of my mind without thinking about it. So when we established core values, it was like this formal thought of like, oh, there's a problem. I should look to my core values on how to solve it. And then I would read through my core values and then try to make a decision and everything else. And it was like this very rigid, structured process.
That's an insane person talking.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
But now I just automatically go to the core values and I just do the right thing whenever something happens, right? And so our core values are gratitude, integrity, value, excellence, and service. And so, you know, I'm grateful that the person's delivering mail on a Sunday. The post office doesn't run on Sunday, right? So yeah. I'm grateful they delivered that package. And ironically, what that package was some like nasal rinse solution because Danielle has this big sinus infection right now. And we were out of the little nasal saline packages.
Am I going to get sick over here?
No.
Are you sure?
Listen to you.
I will wear a mask.
Yeah. And so I same day Amazon some nasal things.
Fucking go up to CVS.
I was watching football.
Oh my God, dude. Why didn't you send her to CVS?
She could have gone, but I was like, I checked on Amazon. I'm like, if I Amazon them, they'll be here this afternoon. She was like, well, let's just do that. Okay.
Oh my God. I love you guys.
So Sunday was kind of our veg out day. We didn't leave the couch all day long.
Yeah, Sunday was nice this week.
Integrity, right? Doing what you say you're going to do even when nobody's watching. The girl showed integrity. She didn't have to come to the door and ring the doorbell and tell me she hit my shit.
Yo, dog, I fucked up your shit.
Yeah, she could have just drove on and then let me wonder, was it the postman? You know, was it a neighborhood kid? Was it my family? Like, who knows?
Mason's out right? there fucking around.
Yeah. You know, value. I value my time. Right. And so here I am looking at it like I could go through this whole claims process and consume tons of time and get nothing out of it, or I could just eat it. Right. Excellence. I'm going to fix this thing myself because I built it myself. Like I know how to fix it. And so I can put it back in an exceptional condition. Right. And then the last one is service. And service doesn't really apply to the mailbox thing. But delivering a high level of service no matter what we do and where we go, right? This is serving myself more than anything else. But like I now automatically go to those core values for anything. We have an upset customer call in. A lot of people take too much pride in their own employees. And if an upset customer calls in, they automatically side with their employee. Well, guess what? Sometimes your employees mess up. And so you have to look at the situation with an open mind and apply your core values to it. And if that means you're giving a customer money back and you're having a conversation with your employee, that's what that means. If that means your employee did everything right and you got a wacky customer and you got to have a tough conversation with the customer, then that's what that means. But, you know, it like those core values help guide any adaptability that I have to do in our company. Looking at our core values when vehicles were getting crashed. I'm holding the people that crashed those vehicles accountable for the things, right? Looking at the core values when my guy crashed his own vehicle, I'm holding him accountable for that. You know, all of those things happen, and you can't plan on the change. All you can do is plan on being able to adapt well, and core values help you through that tremendously.
I'm trying to decide what my core values are now. Like, I have core values. I know this. Like,
well,
but I've never like sat down and been like, okay, personally, what are my core values?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would have to sit down and think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, number one, if you don't start no shit, there is no shit. Like, that would be
don't
my
start
first,
no shit, there'll be no shit.
That'd be my first core value.
Core value number two, fuck around and find out.
Yeah. Like, my core values are pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the,
core value number three. Try me, bitch.
Like if I was gonna write them out, and it said it's not always a perfect acronym. Like if it was fuck, it would just be like family first, and then you would be you're a dipshit. But it'd be like
united.
Oh, you are a dip. You know what I mean?
United.
C would be like cunts come first. K would be kiss my ass. Like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't know what my core value. Maybe I'll think about it and put it in the description. Because honestly, I know what I know how I act, and I always try to treat people with respect and make decisions that don't put I never put myself first.
Right.
But like other than that, like if I had to sit down and really think about it and write it out, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people love to act like they have core values, but then they're constantly finding themselves in battle of them, right? Like integrity is the biggest one. Do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it, even when nobody's
What's
looking.
What's the definition of integrity?
Doing the right thing when nobody's looking. Doing what you say you're going to do when you say...
I don't have any integrity.
When you say you're going to do it when nobody's looking.
Well,
right?
Now, if I say I'm going to do something or do something for... I mean, like, I always do that.
Right. But like... so like an example of integrity in business is like if I...
We're talking personal.
Well, I'm just going to go in business for a second. So integrity in business would be like if I tell everybody we shore every excavation ever. And then a couple of weeks ago or a month or so ago, whenever I had to go out and dig back up one of our sewers because it had a problem and our schedule was full.
You didn't shore it.
Lack of integrity would be like, well, none of my employees are here. If like I can get away with not shoring this and nobody would know, right? But no.
Well, no one would get hurt.
Well, I might die if I'm in a non-shored excavation.
We're all rich. You're making the world a better place.
Yeah. But like a lack of integrity would be like if I didn't even shore my own excavation, but I make my guys do it, right?
Yeah.
You know, a lack of integrity personally would be if I promise my wife I'm going to do something and then I don't do it. Or if I promise my kids I'm going to do something and then I don't do it.
Or, yeah, don't ever do that.
Or if I tell my kids, like, don't speed and then I speed, right? That's not integrous, right? And the whole do as I say, not as I do kind of thing shows.
The whole thing I'm thinking of is, okay, so don't tell Layla that she can't speed. Just keep your mouth shut.
Well, I mean, here.
I'm hauling ass all the time.
Yeah, I've got a 15-year-old son and I'm like, you know, there's times where you can get away with speed. Like, I'm just telling him flat out, there's times where you can get away with it and there's times you can't. And there's certain speeds you can go where you probably get off, and there's certain speeds where you go where you're fucked. And you're young, and if you cop attitudes with the cop, that's going to change things too.
You're going to jail, dog.
I'm telling him more real rather than trying to act like I'm a saint. Because sooner or later, on a long enough timeline, your kids will always figure you out. So don't ever, ever lie to your kids. Because how many kids have grown up thinking their parents are saints, and then when the kids become adults, they start learning about their parents' past. And they realize mom and dad weren't as good as we thought they were, right?
You know, I don't know, and I don't want to get into that on this episode.
Yeah, I don't either. But, like, integrity with your own children is more important than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, like we do gummies at night to sleep. We don't hide that shit from the kids.
I just take Tylenol PM. I took a gummy the other night because I quit drinking, basically. This is my first one today. I probably won't have any more.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been sleeping. Man, I took 6 milligrams. I was hungover as fuck all the next, like, till one.
Was it THC?
Yes. My brain was not functioning. Right. Like, I was just, like, in a fog.
Yeah. I don't like it doing them while I'm awake. It's only to sleep.
I don't think I like doing them awake or when I'm asleep.
I pop a gummy at about 8 p.m. every night, and by 9 o'clock is bedtime. At 9 o'clock, that gummy is about ready to, like, it's coming on. And it's like, all right, time to go to sleep.
Are you taking gummies when we go snowboarding?
Yes. I take them everywhere.
You know what I'm really excited about is we get to go. We're going to go 4 days instead of three.
Yep.
And this is the first time in a long time I think I need a mental break. Like normally I'm like, I'm fine. I'm ready to like shut down.
Veg out. Yeah.
Veg for a while. Enjoy nice company.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be fun.
I can't wait.
I might snowboard the last 2 days. I'm going to ski the first two for sure.
I think.
But I might snowboard the last two.
I think you should. Is Grant going to snowboard?
I don't think so.
Okay. I was going to say, if he does, you should snowboard the first two and then switch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that you're with him. You know what I mean? Like,
that's just a
cool experience if he does.
I just don't want to catch a backside edge and ring my bell. Smack my head on the ground, ring my bell. And
I would only say snowboard if Grant was going to do it.
Well, I might. I mean, it feels good. Like, snowboarding.
It's fun.
There's a feeling there.
It's a lot of fun.
The carve feeling, right?
Man, when you... I will say, I like, so in Breckenridge, they have the burn. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more difficult now that it's grown back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last year was tough, right? Like, it's tough. But you're right. Like, if you're doing a blue black and then it's real steep and you can just roll across sideways and just throw like that, that's a lot of fun when you get older. You know, you're not trying to kill yourself every time.
That carve is just a different feeling. And I want to feel that again because I used to do that when I was younger. But, you know, I just got to worry about my cognitive ability.
Oh, I will say this.
Clap my head on a mobile.
If you're going to do that, that would work out because I'll be with Layla for at least 2 days, the first two. But then if you want to snowboard, then the last two, we can do whatever the fuck
we can go snowboarding wherever we want.
We will leave those fuckers behind. Yeah. I can hear Mason now. Where are you guys going? Don't worry about it, bud.
We were already doing that.
Out of here.
Yeah, we were already doing that last year. We were leaving the kids in the dirt and like letting the kids go by themselves.
It was,
you know?
Last year was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Layla had a good, she's been talking about it every day for 3 weeks probably now.
Yeah.
Right at, so when Christmas got over, so not 3 weeks. When are we going, Dad? When are we going? Is Grant going to, she's been asking me, is Grant going to snowboard? Like, are we going to just go together every day?
Yep.
We talk about it for an hour.
Yep. Yeah.
It's going to be good.
It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
Why don't you wrap us up today?
Yeah.
Let's wrap up early.
So.
We've been getting long on a lot of shows. We need to get back to an hour.
The most important skill to have is your ability to adapt. So focus on not panicking in times of change and instead analyzing the situation for what it is, making the best immediate decision you can and marching forward with that decision with confidence. That's how you overcome sudden change, right? I do want to give a shout out. One of our listeners, Ray, reached out to me because on the last show I was talking about AirPods, or not AirPods, earbuds that can turn up a long way.
Axel, baby.
And so he gave me an idea on some earbuds, so thanks for that.
What did he say?
Ray.
Do you remember?
They were Beats Audio earbuds.
Oh, yeah. Those ones are good.
So I'll try those out and see what we got. I think he said they start as low as like $199, so I'll try those. But
you can get customs for $3.
Well, all the other earbuds I bought have been like $29 or $39.
Talking
like,
those ear
cheapies. Molds
I've talked about. You need the ear. The problem is you can't hear anything else.
Yeah, I don't want to. I want to be able to hear everything else.
They're
too.
Great for music. But
so,
yeah, you're right.
But right, we also have an event coming up that I want to tease a little bit. So the event coming up is going to be in Kansas City on March 1st, and that event is centering around content creation and how to use it to grow your business. So I've got a boomerang hater that loves to show up on my social media shit, and the last time he circled around, we sold 4 price books because of his activity.
Thanks, dipshit.
Yeah, so he's trying to hate on us, and we actually made $1,000 in sales because of that.
What an idiot.
So I posted in a couple of plumbing groups about our content
creation event.
Content creation event coming up. And here he comes in, you know, spewing all of his hate all over the place.
You've got to tell me who this person is.
I'll share it with you.
Okay.
But I reminded him that the last time he came in and tried to do this, I made an extra grand. So if he could sell, like, the tickets for this event are $199 a piece. So if he could help me sell 5 tickets, we could just repeat what happened last time. And that's he good, loves man. To just conjure up anything he can. Well, I actually challenged him. So he was
Why
trying.
Why don't you invite him to the event? I'll pay
I told
for
him,
his free. I will pay for his ticket.
I already told him. I will buy your ticket. Mitch, you pay for the travel to get out here, and I will buy your ticket. Because he was like, what do you mean? You're not a content creator. You don't have a massive following and
no,
all this
but
stuff.
No, fucking Roger Wakefield does, and he's
well,
a bad dude.
And then he's like, the only person I've seen on the event that I even know is Roger. I had to Google everybody else. If you guys were good at throwing events, I wouldn't have to Google anybody that's speaking.
Do you want it to be $1,500 or do you want it to be $199?
And I said, if we filled this event with the Gary Vaynerchuks and all the stereotypical people that you wouldn't have to Google, the tickets would be $2,000 a piece.
Yeah.
And instead, we're going to give you actionable advice on how to use content to grow your business from people that have used content to grow their business. And we're going to show you that you don't need millions of followers. We're going to show you that it's not about how many views you get. It's about the right people viewing it. And we're going to show you how to leverage that and grow your business.
Taking the fucking high road.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And so then he actually backed off and asked a little bit of a question, like, how do you make money on content if nobody views it? And I said, tell you what, I'll buy your ticket to the event. You pay your way out here and back. I will cover your event ticket. And he won't. I guarantee you he won't
no.
do it. But
no, he's
a just
fucking
there to throw
chicken
hate.
Shit.
Yeah.
I hope he listens to this podcast.
No, he won't. He won't put in that time.
You
guaranteed.
Know what? I may make
also doesn't own a business.
I may make a little short out of this. You give me the stuff and I'll fucking send it to him.
I'll go post it in that group where he's at. Yeah. I'll tag his ass in it.
Be like, hey, dude.
Yeah.
You talk all this shit. Why don't you back it up for
me? Back it up. Show up to the event. I got your event ticket covered. People, and I guarantee you he's going to be like, well, yeah, it's easy for you to give away a free event ticket. No, there is no free tickets. Like, if I can't just give him a ticket. The way this thing works, like, I have to pay for a ticket to come.
I'm making Mitch pay me $199 for TradeWinds.
The only people
food's expensive at these fucking things.
Yeah, the only people that get in for free are the right levels of TradeWinds members. Not even all TradeWinds members get in for free.
No.
And so, you know, like, I have to, if he takes me up on it, I have to take my credit card and swipe it through our website and purchase him a ticket.
Yeah.
So, they're like, I can't just go print tickets. This isn't the U.S. government where I can just print money, right? I can't just go print tickets off.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. But I'll put the money where my mouth is. I'll take the high road, and I'll show you that it's not about getting a million views on something to get paid from it.
No, it's about creating content that you can then use to post on social media, to get people to know you, follow you, like you, trust you, and then use that to grow your business.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's about.
Yeah. And so we're going to drop some, like, tactical game that you're going to be able to use to grow your business at the event. So there'll be a link in the description of this show for tickets to the event. The event is March 1st on a Saturday in Kansas City. It's pretty sweet. You can just fly out Friday evening. You can do the event Saturday. You can fly home Saturday night if you want. You can stay an extra night and fly home on Sunday. The event is within like 20 minutes of the KC airport. The KC airport is one of the easiest airports to get in and out of in the nation. Even though it's brand new, it's still insanely easy to get in and out of. So, you know, it's we built this event on purpose for business owners to not interrupt their business and still be able to attend the event. Cut out of work just a little bit early on a Friday, or work the whole day and take a late flight. Get into KC, and then
you don't lose miss out on work.
No,
you know what? I am excited. We haven't said this, I don't think, on the podcast, but Dan Bianchi, one of our TradeWinds members.
Yeah, we got
is
two TradeWinds members,
and Tristan Lanz is going to speak.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to call Tristan when I get home. We'll see if I remember. I haven't been. How do I say this? I don't get super excited for the events because it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
It's a fucking pain in the ass, but I know the guys benefit from it.
Yep.
So I'm grateful to do it. But this one, I'm excited. I am excited to hear Roger speak,
mm-hmm.
and I'm excited to hear Dan speak, and I'm excited to hear Tristan speak.
Yep.
And help grow there. I mean, I'm genuinely excited.
Yeah.
This time.
We've also got a guy named Nick that owns a pressure washing business that's used content to grow his pressure washing business. And he kills it with that. And we've got another guy named Chris coming that's used content to grow quite a few businesses. And across all platforms, Chris has like 5 million followers.
Yeah.
You know, and he does a lot with his content as far as he does advertising with it. He does marketing for his fitness coaching and like all kinds of stuff with it. So
we're going to be good, man.
We're dancing all over the place with the event. So check that out and check on the link in the description of the show, no matter what platform you're listening on, and you'll be able to get tickets. And we hope to see you on March 1st here in Kansas City. So
thanks,
until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.